I felt like we might do a little review of the tribes and the meanings of their name, mostly because the tribal understanding has to be something that is found inside of each individual. I feel that our relationship is not with an impersonal God at all. We each build our relationship out of our uniqueness in Him. And He destined this. He wanted this. Us to have that very personal, unique, only one of its kind relationship with Him. So that gives us each a freedom to be a divine expression and even a pattern of His heart. I want to read this Colossians 1 and verse 19 in Colossians, the first chapter. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. You know, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. So that is spirit, soul, and body dwelling within one man. And that was so foreign to that time because the Old Testament had Him outside, afar off. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and we are Him. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, and by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, and by Him, I say, whether they be things in the heaven or things in the earth. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your intellect. We need to remember that our intellect, where we are, in our intelligence, in our fact-finding, we can factuate Him out. So be careful with that. To understand that He is spirit, soul, and body. It says you were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind, in the way of thinking, by wicked works, yet now He was reconciling us. The whole time we were being our own enemy. And yet, in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. That's what's really, to me, so important for us each to hold on to. What does Father feel about this situation? If I'm married to that husbandman and we have that kind of relationship, he will tell me how he feels. And when you find that out first, how do you really feel about this thing? If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Amen. Hope never makes red-faced. Hope never makes red-faced. So have strength to hope. Like he started this out. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And Johnny put us up on the rungs of the ladder a little bit. We're spiraling upward in this. The hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings. I think we're getting there in that one. Sometimes I have a hard time on that road, rejoicing in my sufferings. I'm going, okay, and I know I'm supposed to do this, so I give you lip service until it becomes real in me. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and will fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. For his body's sake, which is the church, the whole body is working together, folks. I see it all over the land in little subtle things. I see it even in the church system, those that are functioning in a body ministry, and probably don't even realize it. He says, whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. And this is the great, beautiful mystery that we're all so aware of. And this teaching became really current probably 30 years ago. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ inside of you, the hope of the glory. So Christ inside of you is the same thing as taking each of these sons and tribes and seeing them inside yourself. It is a no end to it. It's universes that he's placed within us. Okay. I just wanted to start it off with that Christ within, because we're looking inside. Has very little to do with what's outside. If it's not inside, then just what outside becomes very superficial. Okay. The first son. He was always the firstborn. Although he loses that birthright, he still was the firstborn. To me, it speaks of the first part of our relationship with the Father is to say and know, I am yours. You live inside of me. I see you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Scripture says we don't see everything, but we see Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it does not say Buddha nor Krishna in none of the Gospels. So we need to get those facts out there. Even the Gnostics were smart enough to believe in Jesus. They weren't afraid to use that word. Okay, so the first thing is we're awakened to that Christ that, behold, the Son really lives in me. He's really there. That's such, I mean, it's plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is when we see this. It's wonderful. It just sets you free. Well, that's silly, but anyway. Not only do we get to see, but as we progress, it's like a spiral when we start out here. And it's, to me, always spiraling upward. And then there comes a connection as it makes the first revolution, and it just keeps going round and round and round, like Johnny was saying. We go back to dust, but even that becomes substance that God can use. So it's a beautiful thing the way these guys were named, because it's meant for universal thinking. See the sun, see the light inside yourself. or you really can't help the other guy. And then the next son's name is Simeon. God gives us two ears to hear, but it really means hear the son inside yourself. And don't be worried about getting so off, because as you hear the son inside yourself, you will find that it fits a whole corporate people. They're hearing that same sound you're hearing. And that's wonderful to know. You talk about fellowship. Father wants this so personal. I mean, he knows you inside out anyway. Don't you want to know him that way?
Yes.
And realize that more and more I know what I'm serving. It's personal to me. It cares about my particular problems, my journey. And I build fellowship with that, because he responds to where I am.
Yes,
you learn to let him feel him. A situation's going nuts. Stop and feel for a day or two. Consider in spirit, and you'll see things beginning to just kind of smooth out. The answer coming. So it's a beautiful thing to have ear that can hear what Spirit is saying to the churches. So after the seeing and hearing, Levi's born. And Levi means to make a marriage with seeing the Son and hearing the Son. Join those things together, because it brings a witness. In the witness of two or three, let everything be established. When I'm looking for an answer to something, I listen to the body. I don't listen to somebody at Walmart. I don't listen to what the TV tells me, or somebody walking around with a foul spirit. I listen for the body to speak. What is the body speaking about this situation right now? Then I know I'm in the boat and not out there floating down the river alone, keep hitting the bank and getting shipwrecked. So joining is beautiful. When you make a marriage, you make a pact. Married to God? Yes. He was looking for a wife all along. Somewhere to put his head. So he had to find the man with the womb. The one that knows they are incubating Christ for mankind. The person knows they're pregnant. I know you men hadn't had a baby, but when you're pregnant, you know you're pregnant. There is no doubt. And then to culminate these three things, the seeing, hearing, and marriage, God tops it off with a spirit of praise. We sang about that this morning. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. How do I praise a situation? Encourage the blooming thing. Add a boy, add a girl. People need encouragement. If you don't think they're discouraged, walk down the street and look at the faces someday. I mean, they're out there under a weight, and you're wanting to go, it's better than that.
Amen.
It's better than that. So, also to me, Judah, when you have uplifted hands, you've took your hands off of it. Okay, God, I've wrestled with this thing. I've thought about it inside out. I've taken it as my fault or their fault or whatever. But you reach a place when you say, I've done what I know to do. Let's see what you can do. And be willing to listen to hear. Because sometimes we're still involved. That's beautiful to me. The next son that's born is judgment. But from the very beginning, God never meant those judgments to be where you judged out of purely an emotional experience or purely out of your personal narcissistic desires, because desires are self-centered. A lot of times they are not for the good governing all that they need to be. And are just out of, I'm going to do this. I've never once in my life had that attitude that when I got done, I hadn't reaped anything but a pit of snakes. Because I was so determined, without hearing a word from the Father, to do what I was going to do. Now, if you hear and he says, do it. But it won't breed vipers or unhappy. Okay. God meant this judgment to be discernment. And that's exactly what he does in that flow of Dan in the birthing and traveling order. He absorbs Dan into discernment. Until that old, harsh, carnal, intellectual, factual judgment has no place. I went to Bruce's hearing Friday, so I'm going to use this. And I've just got to tell you where our legal system is. They do not know nothing about by grace you're saved. Promise you, we ain't got there yet. The lady in her position took every infraction Bruce had ever made in his life. She said, we're going to cover all the condemnations, all the things you ever did. And she did. She read thing after thing after thing after thing. He was dead before she even said anything about the present crime or the last crime. I think that ought to be against the law, because that leaves that person totally under condemnation. That means that whatever he did at 17, it ain't forgotten. They're holding it up like the Ten Commandments.
Well, not only that, he's being judged by somebody we really don't know. We're putting faith in that person.
Well, yes.
They're doing their job correctly, or they've got a clean slate. Now, I have a problem with that.
Well, I have a problem with that, too, and that's what I'm saying. He did the crimes, of course. Yes. But have you ever done anything you kind of would like erased or not remembered? I mean, it's bad enough to remember what goes on today sometime where you might have missed the mark. But let me go dredge up. That's why marriages, people can't live together. Because they're going to drag up everything for 1,000 years. Things that you did before you knew them. Where in the name of peace is forgiveness? I think we ought to deal with the present thing. So there was no way he could have gotten any kind of consideration, because he was dead before he started. And that's the way our legal system is today. So I'm saying there's going to have to come another way of dealing with criminals, because they do become habitual, some of them. It just, well, I'm just going to take the crime, just put it on me. I got it anyway. Why would I want to be good? It just leaves no hope. No hope.
Well, so, what it is it exposes that person for them. But if you watch, some of these people are getting exposed. God is exposing some people in place. They're getting exposed. So, I mean, it takes time, and it's always been that way. It's always been
that way. Well, yes. There will come a different system of judging. because they'll discern by spirit what it's supposed to be, not just by legalities. Anyway, I probably have a little mother in this. Forgive it. I may, but I got to see it firsthand, and I was appalled. I thought, I wonder what I would have on my record. I've never done nothing or got caught doing anything. But I have gotten tickets before. You know, they'd say, well, you got a ticket back when you were 18 years old, and then you got another ticket 10 years ago, and another ticket. I mean, this is ridiculous. So does that mean I'm going to get another ticket, and another ticket, and another ticket?
Yeah, what is the point of paying for it?
I forget it. Anyway, so that kind of judgment has got to be turned around for our whole prison system. Some way they have got to make a change and make these men productive instead of sitting in a cell all day. Give me a break. I put them to work, I promise you. If it was cleaning the nail holes with a needle, I'd give them give them a job to do and supervise them. Anyway, so to me that's like carnal judgments. But we turn that to discernment. See how Father, how do you really feel about this situation? What would you have to come out of this situation? Okay, now it doesn't stop there. This is so progressive, the way they are named. Because Naphtali is the sixth born. And Leah says, I have wrestled with my sister. She's not talking about something outside of her, but an affection that lives within you. You wrestle with your sister spirit that is producing spiritual things, and you're so jealous. And here, Leah was jealous of Rachel. Rachel hadn't produced yet, but she was so jealous of what Rachel was about to do. All the time, because every time she had a son, she'd say, now my husband will love me. And she never got it. That part, never got it. Because she thought she had to do something for him to love her. And I see people like that. They never get that they are loved. Already your love, you're basking in a sea of love constantly. Just learning to love yourself. So, Naphtali's name means to wrestle or struggle. To me, the good part of that is you don't just snatch something up, a thought, and not really turn that thing around and around. See, if you wrestle with that thing and come to daylight, like Jacob did, he wrestled all night with an angel. And he said, are you for me or against me?
Yes.
He said, I'm just sent of the Lord your God. He didn't make Jacob's decision for him. He let Jacob decide what was in him. So it's good to turn situations around. How do we deal with this? How do I look at this from that deeper level? So that's Naphtali. And then she left off bearing, Bilhah had Dan and Naphtali. And Naphtali ascended out of what she put on him. Now, Dan didn't, it really killed him, because these were born out of fear and trembling, because that's what her name means. She never got redeemed from that. So there's a part in us that wants to take over every new thing we hear, situation we hear. Fear sets in first. If you don't watch, it'll come first. Well, this could happen, that could happen, and this can happen. And by the time somebody gets through talking about a situation that way, I'm going, what is even the point to even discuss this? Because you got it dead before we start. I don't like playing that game. That's not a level game. That's not fair.
There's no hope.
That person's playing with a stacked deck that's built with fear. Okay, she leaves off Baron there. And Rachel's maid, no, Leia's maid's name was Zilpah. And her firstborn was Gad. And it means a troop cometh, but so much more, as in the sense of distributing a fortune through the 12 tribes. It's a positive sign. This Gad is the cardinal cross. And it also means to crowd upon or attacked, to overcome. And the number one thing it says, assemble yourself by rank and order. Oh, did you know how unfamiliar and unpopular that kind of teaching is today? Nobody wants to have authority over them anywhere. And if they do have authority, they try to figure out a way to break the rule, mm-hmm, or sneak across it, and instead of simply obeying. We watched a movie last night. I'll tell you all about it later. But in the movie, there was a lawyer, and he had a client that was saying, well, this man told me to go to hell. And he just kept saying that, and the lawyer finally said, well, I checked all the law books and everything I know, and you don't have to go. I thought it was really humorous. Like, you know, it's not legally something you have to do. Why don't you just forget it? I mean, really.
Very personal, dude.
Well, yeah.
Stupid.
But I thought that was pretty good. I checked everything. Nothing says you have to go there. So.
Checked all the law books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you pay for somebody to pay somebody to do that.
Isn't it the truth? Just because somebody hands you a bucket of snakes or worms, you don't have to play with them or fellowship them. That's theirs. I just put it back on them. Enjoy. Have fun. The next son that's born is Asher, and he has a beautiful meaning to his name. It means to be happy and prosperous, but it goes back to the meaning of to be straight. Remember when we saw the creatures in Ezekiel and the wheel, the scripture said they all had straight feet. Mm-hmm. All straight feet. The mind, emotions, will, and desires walked the same way. They weren't pulled by emotions or pulled by intellectual fact or pulled by a willpower or even a desire. They just walked straight. It means to do it right, to make it level, even it out. Couldn't we say, I could have missed that, to each other? Hey! Carolyn sent me a dream this week. Carolyn Key. And she said in the dream, we were all going to a meeting in a bus somewhere. And Johnny and I were with our group and some other groups. And she said, I was cool, but I had brought Daniel's pit bull with me. And she said, people were really angry with me, except your group. She said, you and Johnny stood with me every second. So I just wrote her back and said, we all got a pit bull. We just don't like anybody to show it to us. Mm-hmm. And that's what's wrong with that haughty thing, saying, I don't have a pit bull. I don't ever get mad. I don't ever do anything wrong. Come on. That's not reality. The beauty and the pit bull, it's with all Beauty and Beast. We got it. That's what we're sent here for.
Taking apart pit bull.
Yes. Anyway, I thought it was beautiful. She said, you and Johnny had my back and your group. I said, we got your back. Have your pit bull. I might let mine out sometime. Anyway. So Asher means to get it straight, get it level. Level it out so it don't just fit you perfect, but it fits you perfect. It goes both ways. This is a two-edged sword for all of us. Either way it goes, it's going to cut.
Well, the other thing is, when you started telling this, and I don't know if you told Suzanne John, but the numbers themselves, like with Reuben, 1, 2, 3, all these numbers with the names correlate. There's a meaning with number 2. Mm-hmm. It correlates with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They've had that teaching.
No, I just didn't know. Yeah. I have to remind myself that, like, when you get to 6 is man, so the wrestling makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. It does. Okay. And then we move to Issachar, and that's a story within itself, Issachar being born, because this is where Rachel saw that Leah was bearing many children. So she goes to Reuben, her stepson, Leah's firstborn son, and he's raising this crop of mandrakes. It was a weed of some kind that caused the... It was an aphrodisiac, is what it was. Mm-hmm. So she thought, you know, if I give Jacob some of these, perhaps. So she paid for Issachar by paying Leah with the mandrakes so Leah could have sex with him and bear a son. I don't know how come they were so sure that they're going to have a kid every time they got intimate. I'd be going, oh my God, stay away from me, let's separate.
They
must have. I'd be interested to know how they really governed that. Because desires, you know, and your hormones, they don't just happen when you think they should. Sometimes you're going, what is this about? It's daytime. Or, I want to be with my husband. You know, it's just a very private thing. Anyway, so Issachar is called my hire. It's a temporary purchase or a contract. Actually, Leah looked at it as her compensation at that time. And we'll go on because I don't want to teach on that again. We just shared that about the mandrakes. The 10th son is Zebulon, and it means to be put in an more of an enclosed place where you just kind of closet yourself in, you know, things are going on around you, but you're having an epiphany or just a quiet moment. And I don't even hear the conversation when that's going on. I don't know what they said. I don't know what's said on TV. I don't care. Because I'm seeing something very personal at that time. I'm looking completely at something else. It means to reside constantly with. Could we ever think that we are away from spirit? Not. If you get away from spirit very long, you would do a thing called die, because it's breath. So when we're breathing, we may not be tapping into that spiritual mind at the moment, but it's spirit. I believe that when we speak the name Jesus, and I heard this from Danny Busey years ago, he said, the moment you just utter Jesus, he said, the heavens are like royal steeds beginning to come to your rescue. It sets the wheels in order. So if you don't say Jesus, except in a swearing term, say it often. You can, I mean, nobody has to hear you. You don't have to blow a trumpet. Let your mind say it if your mouth can't speak it. Jesus. Wonderful. Okay. It means to become a habitation of. And this is beautiful too. It means to confer. Oh, confer with yourself. Have a conference with yourself. Take yourself aside and say, hey. When I keep hearing the same little vein of thought throughout my week, I begin to say, God, what are you saying to me? I don't say what you're saying to Johnny, Terry, Suze, France, Karen. What are you saying to me? What is this place in me that needs to be stirred up? That's as you are the habitation of the Father. So it really is pushing you into a more beautiful place where you can hear as you closet yourself in that place. The next son is Joseph. God shall add. Now Joseph has got some history we really need to look at. His first name, Joseph, means heel catcher. Uh-oh. You're walking down the street doing really good, I think you are, have all this confidence, and something stops your walk, makes you stumble. And it's always for good. That's the last thing to follow behind you is your heel. If you get that in place, then you've got it made. If you don't and you stumble, it's for a divine purpose. Why did I stumble here? So that's what Joseph's name means at the beginning, but at the end it means God shall add. God's going to add to you if you stumble, if you fall, and we need to know that. So we'll just make a little boo-boo here and there. And okay, what was that about? Why did I stub my toe on this thing? So it's a good thing. The beautiful thing about his name is the scripture says, the love of God in me constrains me.
Amen.
When you can find somebody that can keep their mouth shut unless it's edifying to everybody else, then you found a great person. God's love constraineth me. So that means he's dealing with me in my daily walk, how I behave. Just my attitude. Maybe saying, I could say that different. Now you know God ain't dealing with me about that. Lord, yes. I could sure say it different. Okay. Let's see. Let's turn to Hebrews 4:12. This is a favorite verse. It says so much. I don't know if anybody's ever fully taught on that one scripture that I've heard.
The one that says, talking about the unseen.
Mm-mm. Hebrews 4. A 11 says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fail or fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quickened. The word for quickened there is alive. When they sing he's alive, it just stirs me. I want to go, yes, he's alive because he's walking around in my cells. I can feel him in me. And that's personal. Make your divinity personal. Do not make that impersonal. That's what man is trying to do in the New Age ministry right now, and it's causing others to suffer. If you're like Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, and you've just got one lamb, hold on to that dude. Let it be the one lamb. Hold to that dearly. That's personal, because he made you to personally be who and what you are. He wants your manifestation because you're unique to him. And I believe that's for everybody. If they could find that, find himself, there'd be no more drugs, alcohol abuse, and all the stuff we see, because they would be at one with that personal being. When I say Jesus or begin to pray, I expect a response, don't you? Or why would you be doing it? And I want him to respond to me the way I feel and either set me straight or lift me up, whichever. So the word is alive and powerful. It is divine energy. No wonder people jump and shout. If that hit energy hits you at the right time, you won't be sitting on your hands. They'll be stuck up in the air because it's so beautiful, and you feel like, hey, I can shout at my own ball game. You know, I'll be my own cheerleader. I don't have to get out there in public and do that now. People would not understand that. So the word is alive and energetic, full of energy. When you speak Yahshua, I can't tell you what I feel. It's bigger than words could possibly say at this time in life. We don't have the verbiage to speak it. It's so great. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It does cut that way, and it cuts this way at the same time, because piercing even to dividing asunder of all soulish and all spiritual things. How do I divide it? Well, you might get your mind out and play with that devilish thing. Your mind, not anybody else's mind. Get out, take it outside and say, where has this taken me in the past? I know you're a snake. That's the ego. Or this emotion. You know, emotions, they can take you to a bad place and hold you. I see people that are totally held by unemotion. Lord, if I could just kiss away the hurt. It can't be real. I can't possibly let that emotion just flow and connect with someone else. Or even the real emotion is locked up in a prison with shackles around it. And it's so easy to just let go. Besides, you know, letting go, you're going blood, blood. Holding on to an anchor is that you need to. That those mentalities, willpowers, determinations we've got, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, a desire is not really just right for the right moment. Did I get them all? Mind, emotions, will, and desires. All of those things. He says, this is going to divide between that and spirit. And this is beautiful. It divides between the joints and the marrow of the bone of the matter. So we need to walk around in our boneyard often, pick up that thing and say, can you live? Are you going to be a living bone that will cooperate, that will connect, that will love who it is? Will you? If not, lay that dude down and get something that'll work. It is a discerner, that's a beautiful word, of the thoughts that keep going through my head, and we might have allowed certain thought patterns all of our life, and God will say, hey, stop that thing. I want to show you something else. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intent. And sometimes there's a wide gap there. A person's manifestation, what they speak, what they're thinking, and you may know, may really be far from their intent. And not really intend for a person to take it the way they hear it. Some of the things I say sometimes to certain people, I know they're taking that thing and going to the very bottom of the ocean, to the pits of hell, when all they had to do was give them 40 acres, turn the rig around, and take it up. You could take it to the good degree, couldn't we? We have that option. There's no law that says, when you think on this, you better take it to hell. Not. Just like the lawyer told the guy, you don't have to do that. Yet your mentality will persuade you, you got to think it this way because they've been doing it for 10,000 years. That's exactly why I don't want to think it that way. Because it ain't worked.
That's called insanity.
Yes. That was in that movie, too. Guy trying to hit the ball out of a deep sand pit. And finally his caddy said, you know, you're doing the same thing over and over, looking for different results. Never going to happen. Not going to happen. Okay. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. And in this message, a lot of the people that I know really do judge the intent and don't kill the messenger. You know, somebody gets through the message and you're going, ooh, I know that's off. But I know they didn't mean for that to be off, because I know them well enough that their intent was really not a bad intention. It just came out that way this time. Okay. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, like we could hide from God. That is too funny. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And wherever you are in your growth, many things will be revealed to you that a person don't even know about themselves. I have no idea. That was another thing in that movie. This guy played golf, and one of the lady golfers with him said, your worst problem's you. You need to get out of the way. sometimes I just need to move out of the way of the whole thing and say, okay, okay, you got it, Toyota. So if it goes bad, God, it's your fault. All right. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, and they're not talking about a heavens building. Not, he dwelleth not in buildings made with hands. He's talking about living inside people. Oh, that would relieve so many if they could see that that being loves them more than they love themselves. And that he accepts them where they are. It is not by works, 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 works. We can boast it. I've lived good all my life. I've done this all my life. And God said that is filthy rags that goes on the dung heap. So you did do those things. That's good. But it ain't grace. So it's not by works, lest we boast. It's by grace that your salvation comes every time. Not something you're just making yourself do. You just find, like Noah. Noah was on a quest to find grace. The scripture says Noah found grace because he was looking for grace, not looking up a law to prove somebody how bad they are. Good grief. So, a little grace goes a long way. Okay. We come to Benjamin, the son of my right hand. And it's sometimes he was and sometimes he wasn't. But God saw a vision for him. This is a complete revolution of the 12. You get to this spot and you know you are the son of God's right hand. And you take a man's woman and you divide her into 12 parts and send her to each of the tribes of Israel. That's not exactly God's right hand. We need to get that right. God didn't say do that. So your Benjamin can be a killer. Scripture says he ravens by night. But when he gets it right, he's going to divide by morning the right things, the good things. Okay, we already taught on Ephraim and Manasseh. Knowing that Ephraim was not counted, but Ephraim and Manasseh did come under the law of adoption, so we're dealing with 14 namesakes here. And I've already given you the meanings of their name. Ephraim was double fruit. Manasseh is so beautiful, causing to forget and forgive. That's thus said, Connie, right out of my book. Forget and forgive. Like the guy told him, you don't have to go to hell, aren't you? Forget about it. Just forget about it. Or you just want to keep being mad. And some people have been mad so long, they hold on to it. It's my right to be mad and upset and angry and be miserable. And I want to say it sure is, because that's how you live. Keep it. All right. So, Dan and Ephraim get absorbed, changed, so to speak, within the other tribes. Levi, he also changes his position. The priest that's in the middle right now, in the journeying order, so to speak, I mean, you're chomping, he's getting it from both sides all the time. But in this, he becomes like peanut butter. God just spreads him around the tribes, and he becomes his own governor. Beautiful. Beautiful. He don't have to play the part of being chewed on all the time. Anyway, this is so personal for each of us. Jesus said, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Because what he was saying is, I need a trustworthy companion that I can put my own understanding on. And a picture of that trustworthy person or being to me is so beautifully shown in the Shulamite in her love story with herself. Her love story with herself. Or the shepherd boy. We all could feel this way. We could be, should be able to say, I am black. I miss it sometime. But I'm comely. I'm black. I know where my down feeling sittings are. But I'm still comely. After all, the brothers that are ministered to me in this house I'm raised in, the brothers speak of male spirits, have told me I need to keep everybody else's vineyard, and I haven't kept my own. Come on. Only you can keep your vineyard and keep the little foxes out. They're your foxes. Your vineyard, your vine. How do I keep the little foxes out? Well, you know what they do. They slip in there. The devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, put him in a box. No, 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 no. Anyway, watch that dude, because he will chew at the new vine root to uproot the beautiful thing you've already got. So she said, my brothers, they made me keeper of everybody else's vineyard, tending to everybody else's business. Why didn't take care of mine? But I'm doing that now. Psalms 69 says this, that makes you know how personal your relationship is. I'm the only one of my mother. Isn't that precious? I'm the only one of my mother. Of that soul that burst, that is burst. I'm the only one. So that's how unique we each are. We each have a journey, a destiny to march toward, an expression to make. And it's honorable. Our expression is honorable. Whatever level. It's beautiful. That's all I'm going to share today.
Can I add something?
Mm-hmm. He's okay. They've been real good.
This idea of a personal God, you know, Speed started off with faith is substance. Of course, if we have these attributes, these divine attributes, we have to get them from something. So that takes us back to God being substance. And, you know, you kept bringing this out. The personal idea of a personal God. Well, this morning when I woke up, right off the bat, I went to God being a personal God with, I just want to... I saw something in there that I had never seen before, and I just thought, well, maybe it's on. It was in John 5. This was when Jesus went to Jerusalem, and there was a pool there at Bethesda, and the angel would come periodically and stir the waters. Mm-hmm. And there were various ones of different infirmities that would wait for the waters to be stirred. And this one man was waiting. And Jesus said, do you wish he came through? And he said, well, do you wish to be made whole? He said, well, that time I tried to get down in the water, he said, they get there before me. I can't get there in time because of my infirmity. And so he said, well, be thou whole. Take up your bed and walk. And the Pharisees, I says, well, you're not supposed to be carrying your bed on the Sabbath day.
Oh, my God.
You know.
That's what we need.
And he said, well, he said, well, he said that someone told me I was healed and I could take up my bed. You know, I'm paraphrasing this very much. And he said, well, who told you? He didn't know who he was. But later on, he saw him in the temple, and Jesus came up to him, and he said, well, you know, something that be thou whole and sin no more, you know, or it'll be worse for you later on, you know. So he was able to reveal that name to the Pharisees later on, and they came to him, and they were more determined than ever to kill him because not only had he dishonored the Sabbath day, well, he also, Jesus said that. This is what he said. I'm going to read what he said.
Fair, you see, sad, you see.
Yeah. he said, the man departed and told the Jews that he was, that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered and said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore I do the works of my Father. So the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And I thought, well, then I began exploring this idea of, I said, wow, you know, I really had never thought that before, that Jesus actually brought that concept to the Jews that he was a personal father. Though God the Father is mentioned often in the Old Testament, it was more on the lines of father to Israel.
It was
not as a personal. So the one thing I think that he brought out more than anything then was the idea that, you know, because Jesus did whatever works he saw that the Father was telling him to do, he did that. He obeyed him and did that. So to him, he was a personal God. And so they hated him all the more for that.
Oh, yeah.
And this idea then too with Bruce, you know, as you brought out the law, you know, they don't see Bruce as a personal being in front of them. They're only concerned with the law and the rules and regulations of the law. And we have to get past that to see what is behind the law. The law is perfect. The law is good. But the spirit of the law needs to be carried out, just like in the Constitution.
Yes.
When the Supreme Court looks at the Constitution, it says, what was the intent here? What was the purpose of this? You know, to make their decisions. To look at what the founders of the Constitution had intended. And so we've gotten so involved, you know, that we don't know anything else.
I know, it's become wordy.
God has to bring a new understanding to our hearts, or no, nothing will change.
Good point. I love
so it. So that idea of a personal God, you know, and beautiful too. Going on was the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And this, the most important of all, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Why? Because he walked without. He was tempted as
yes.
He was able to,
I think, Jesus,
overcome all
a long time ago, what we're learning and seeing today was doing then. It's like when they were stoning the woman, he was writing their stuff in the sand. I mean,
yeah, he's sticking
rope. It's a no-brainer. You know, I don't know. I mean, it took me, of course, the church system don't want you to know all that, that, you know, you were probably, I mean, they were doing the very thing that they were throwing us, they were the ones. You know, they were doing the deed and pointing at her, making her the bad person when indeed it was really the other way around.
Absolutely.
They took advantage of her demise, her needs.
But
monetary.
The fact that he committed all judgment unto the Son. Why? That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him.
Yes. Beautiful.
Yes. You know, I just stand to see when you said that. Who is the Son? Ain't just the one named Jesus.
No.
You've got to honor yourself.
It's that.
Absolutely.
It's a duality of thinking, I think. You get to see the complexity. I mean, I get, it's kind of like this. It's this seed of thought that I'm having, born of the Christ, the Jesus. Or is it born of, or is it the positive, and this is the negative? But, you know, there's got to be a middle ground. So, I mean, I know the positive is good. We have that for a reason. So, I don't know where I was going with that, but this is kind
of... Well, I could see a concept.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm going to be... This is my point. Why? What is the big why? For what? I mean, it's not that we're going to be caught up in the heavens and some fantasy thing happen. I want to know why. I mean, I know that it's for the greater good, but I mean, what is going to be the end of the matter? Is there ever going to be an end to the matter?
Well, when we're caught up into...
Because even back then, I've been watching a lot of mythology. I was noticing with Zeus. The child was Apollo. He had a Apollo. You know, we associate. I want to do a study on that too, because his son was Ares, which was the god of war. He tried to kill him. But, I mean, if you look at it from that point of view, but where do we get all this information? Where does it all come together? I mean, what is the point? If we're going to just die and not remember.
Well, you know, I had a couple of thoughts while you were talking, but just then I thought about that scripture that says the ministry is given for the perfection of the saints until we all come into the fullness of the Godhead. And that a whole, I think it's two different verses that said the purpose is that the whole creation is for his liberty of the Son of God. And that liberty to me is being able to, just exactly what we're talking about, to divide any situation righteously, and it brings that flow, the healing, the good. You know, Connie alluded to it in several things that she said, just, I want to judge things by your heart, Lord, and
yes.
It doesn't end up being a failure. Or just a more of a mess, or, you know, wounding bodies all over the place. But as we learn to discern God in our thoughts and God in the body, that the scripture says in James, I think, we die. Many of us die because we don't discern the body. That's me believing in you and you and you and you and knowing and trusting that we can come to a honorable and holy solution to the situation between us, to the situation in our group, to the situation in our nation. And no, there I go, getting all prepared to be. That's the end of the matter to me. If it's
not, I mean, I see what you're saying. That's for the now. But I'm talking about...
That's a personal question you asked.
I have asked that.
Jesus, show me my purpose.
You just die and you don't remember. You just go through your life, just striving to do good, be kind, all those things. I think we do, but I mean, what is the point if you don't get to grasp and remember the whole thing? I mean, what is the end of the matter? Is it to live on this earth and everybody just be... I have a hard time with that. Because the scientific part of me goes, well,
And some of this I've seen recently, it has to do, and Marcus said 30 times. I'm better than he had